Blog Talk Radio.
And not only the image, but even down to the name. Where it's only in modern English that we have the name Jesus. A couple of hundred years ago, that name never existed.
The mainstream media is ignoring this information. Most of the alternative media is also ignoring it.
The way.
Poetic Energy Network. Station.
Shalom, shalom. Oh, man, you already know we back for another Shabbat. You already know we here rocking on the way with your whole side. Man, it's going down. You already know. Every week is going down on the Poetic Energy Network station. Hey, I'm so excited. We made it. Yahuwah blessed us to another Sabbath, another Shabbat, another day of rest. So we just get to chill and just bask in his day and the steam and just of the Father and just think about the things to come. Hope you're having a blessed one today. Man, you already know it's going down. So we're going to dive right into it. And we got some breaking news for y'all, but we gonna pray it up and we're going to approach the throne right now. Father Yahuwah, in Yahushua HaMashiach's name, Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for another Sabbath, Father, that we get to rest in just you. Father, we just thank you. We pray that you would speak through us and to us, Father, that you would help us understand what is going on in this time. What is the spiritual weather? Like, what is going on in the world today? And so, Father, we thank you. We love you. And we esteem your name. Please decrease us that you may increase, that we may hear what the Ruach has to say to his people. In Yahushua HaMashiach's name we pray. So be it. Hallelujah. Amen. So, you already know, we're going to dive right into it, man. You know how we've been talking a couple weeks ago. We talked about the Occupy Wall Street, and we talked about the different things that were popping off, and what did all this thing mean? Like, what was the coming together of all this? You know, and Yahuwah showed us, you know, how it would be a springboard to the Pope, to the other people, you know, catching aboard on this. But what we didn't know, I really didn't know this till Yahuwah revealed this to me this morning. Now, we're going to rewind and we're going to talk about the Occupy. We got to get this breaking news out of here. We got to get this out. Breaking news. Now, check this. Lucis Trust is behind the Wall Street movement, Occupy. Now, this is where it gets big right here. Now, October 15, 2011, it began the worldwide action. It was, you know, the first time really that, you know, all these people around the whole country, millions of people were calling for, like, global change. And the thing about it is, you know, they would say the Occupy movement started, you know, in America, and it kind of caught around the world. But, you know, we went and we had some other information that showed you about Libya and about Obama, how he was talking about that, and then how it caught on like this. But there was an official website. It's called the 15thoctober.net, right? And I found some information from, random sources and different things like that, that really, because, you know, if you register a website on the Internet, you know, they can trace it back to, you know, who actually created the domain name and who was registered to. So I found this information about the official website of the whole Occupy movement, right? Okay, so what the address was found was Pauline Arcos, which is 866 United Nations Plaza, Suite 1516, New York, New York, 10017, United States. Okay. Now, if you look, this is very simple right here. You know what I'm saying? If you look, you go look on, let's say, Google Maps. Go look on Google Maps. You'll see that it is near the Berhomium Carmos. Now remember, now if you look at it, now Alice Bailey was who was the founder of Lucy's Trust, who was a disciple of Helen and Belinsky, one of the founders of the Theosophical Society of in Eastern mysticism. Okay, now it's a couple of books out there. One of them is The Freemasonry of Secret Societies, and another one which talks about, you know, basically about Lucy's Trust. And guess what the address, the unofficial address for Lucy's Trust is? 866 United Nations Plaza, New York, New York. Now, if you find out now, Now, somehow on October 19th, they changed the address to some random address like out in, you know, Arizona. They changed the address. But if you go back and you look, this is the address that is connected to Alice Bailey and Madam Helen Belinsky. Okay, these are people or funders of the United Nations. Now, Lucy's, we're going to get into it. Because Lucy's Trust, now I'm going to tell you what Lucy's Trust is. Basically, before we get into that, we're going to pause. Before we get into that, we're going to get on to some other stuff, okay? Now, there's also a supporter for the Occupy Wall Street movement, and his name was Mikhail Gorbachev. It's a pretty hard name to pronounce right there. But he said he signals that the Wall Street movement signals the emergence of the New World Order. Now, this guy right here is a premier leader in one of the highest levels of the United Nations bureaucracy and a member of the Lucy's Trust. Okay, now check this. This is what he said. In one of his forums, he said on a forum that he had at that same address trace the domain back, name back for the whole Occupy movement. Because what the website kind of do, you know, I know some about it, the website, it kind of coordinates, because the internet nowadays, it can coordinate people doing things on one time. So this whole thing was the website kind of coordinated all these different things around, you know, different countries and different, in different places. So, Now, what you have here is you have that all these different places, the internet, this one place coordinated this thing. So this is what this guy said that was part of this. He said, my friend, the Pope John Paul, said it the best. He said that we need a new world order, one that is more stable, more humane, and more just. That's what he said. Okay. But then he goes back down here and he says, he talks about, I think he was addressing some people, and he says, these are problems by most protest movements. We'll gradually find our way into a new order. So he basically said that these protests, this is a guy that works for Lucy's Trust. He said that these protests would lead towards the new world order. And now what you got to understand is Lucy's Trust is a publishing house that prints and dominates the United Nations material. Okay, they push out the New Age and pagan agenda of the United Nations. Now, Lucy's Trust was used to be called Lucifer Trust. It was established in 1922 by Alice Bailey. Is a publishing company. Basically, it dominated and it published the books of Bailey and Belinsky in the Theosophical Society. Now these people right here, man, these people were very demonic. I mean, these people had. We're gonna break it down. So you're talking about they changed the name. The name was originally Lucifer Trust, but they changed it to Lucy's Trust. You know, to kind of cloak it so people can't understand. Okay, what are they really doing? So you're talking about the address that was the official website of the whole Occupy movement, was registered from a Lucifer Trust group. Okay, you're talking about demonic NWO, the people that hate your soul. You know what I'm saying? And so people are behind it. And with I read something today that really caught that they really we like to say pull my wig back. Okay, check this. When people say we are the 99%, you know, that's the whole thing behind it, right? Now what they are really saying, what the NWO has got them to do by you know, mind games and mind tricks, is now they are actually saying we are one. So that is exactly what Lucifer Trust and Hashtag want the people to do, is to band together to say they are one, to say they are the 99%, they are one now. So now what the government is going to do now is they're going to say, okay, now since they're one, let's come together. So now let's dive more into the information. So you're talking about this company, you know, changed the name to Lucifer Trust because, you know, Lucifer Trust kind of revealed more natures of the new age movement. Okay? So basically they pushed new age books, you know what I'm saying? And they have a program called World Goodwill. That's where they have a program. Now check this. Lucifer Trust is sponsored by, among others, Robert McNerney, former Minister of Defense of the U.S., President of the World Bank, member of the Rockefeller Foundation, and Thomas Watson, IBM, former ambassador in Moscow. This is making more sense. Remember last week we talked about, we said, hey, Jehovah's Witnesses, that, hey, the biggest mainframe and the biggest people who helped the Nazis get people and stuff like that was IBM. So how do you have, now you have this IBM guy, who was a former ambassador in Moscow, this IBM guy, and you have this Rocket, right? We talked about the Rockefellers, and we talked, all this is connected. The whole bank system, the Rockefellers. So now we talked about the mainframe. IBM is which, you know, they're going to use for the Beast system to have everybody registered into the Beast. You know what I'm saying? So you're talking about, okay, Lucifer Trust, right here, you know, Foster started this group called the Goodwill. We were just talking about that. Okay. Now, check this. We're going to rewind it back. Okay, we just said that the whole thing of the whole thing, the Occupy Movement Wall Street whole thing was registered by Lucifer Trust. Okay, we already know these people are demonic. Now, guess what the statement of this group, of the Lucifer Trust, guess what their main objective is? It says, cooperate in the world preparation for the reappearance of, you know, they say the Christ. This is from the magazine of Foundhorn Foundation, 1986. Okay, so you can look all this information up. You know what I'm saying? So it's on page 24 if you don't believe me. This is the main goal of the Lucifer Trust, was to prep people for the reappearance of the Christ. But I'm going to tell you right now, they ain't talking about, you know, I don't care, even though it's a word called the Christ, they're not talking about Yahushua HaMashiach. They're not talking about him. They are talking about, basically, you're saying that this Lucifer Trust, this lady, we're going to break it down, too, about how Helen Belinsky, how the Nazis even used her philosophy. So the United Nations and all these people's philosophy is based upon her, who had a demonic revelation. It wasn't even a revelation, a demonic experience from Hashatan, in which now she wrote all these demonic books and which influenced these people on the world agenda. So you're talking about, that is the main goal of, so basically the main goal of Lucifer Trust, you know, using the media, they use the media to print stuff, you know what I'm saying? Okay, their main goal is to prep people for the Son of Perdition. So the whole Occupy movement, if you want to get real, we're going to break it down. We're going to break down the walls. The whole Occupy movement is basically to get people to rise up, to be ready for the beast, to be ready for the son of perdition. So if you look at it this way, these people who are crying out, we are 99%, they have flipped the minds on these people. So they are really calling out for, imagine them saying, we're ready for the anti-Messiah. And then how will people feel about the news? That coverage really wouldn't be, because it's a matrix. You know what I'm saying? That coverage really wouldn't be seen. But that's what they're really talking about. So we want to really break they down. So the whole Occupy movement, which you're seeing on TV, this is behind it. This is the inside of the matrix. Okay, so you're talking about Helen Blavatsky, 1831 through 1891. That's when she died. She said she was contacted by a master, some kind of master, you know, which is basically a demon. You know what I'm saying? They call these things ascended masters, which are demonic spirits. In 1851. After years of contact with her spirit masters, come on now, it says she helped found the Theosophical Society in 1875, published Iris Unveiled in 1877, established the Lucifer, the occult magazine in London in 1887, then published the Secret Doctrine in 1888. Now, this is stuff that people like Hitler and all these people use. You know what I'm saying? They have an establishment in the United Nations. Come on now. We know according to the prophecy they say that the UN, the beast. It said the woman ruled the beast. And she was almost like that. Think about it. The woman ruled the beast. Lucifer Trust actually is like riding on the United Nations. They actually have a facility and part in within the United Nations facility. Come on, man. You see, you're talking about this actually woman. So her next disciple was Alistair Bailey. Who, you know, she said she contacted some kind of master in 1895. And so what happens is, you know, we don't really get into details, but she said that at first she thought it was J.C. You know what I'm saying? That's what she said. She said at first she thought it was J.C., but it wasn't. And so she wrote about 18 books. She wrote about 18 books over the next 30 years and therefore influenced the Lucifer Trust in 1922. So these are the people you have following. Because remember, the main goal of these whole people who established the whole Occupy movement, Yahuwah showed us, but we didn't know the details. But Yahuwah showed us that it was inspired by Hashatan. He showed us that. So now we have the details this week that, hey, this is exactly who registered the website. You know what I'm saying? They try to cover it up with, you know, saying they from Arizona on. 3 days later, they try to change the domain name and say, you know, oh, it wasn't them that registered. But if you research it, that same address is the same address for Lucifer's Trust. So these people who have their agenda for the world profit this whole movement that you see on TV. Okay, then check this. You know, that whole movement is what? The reappearance of the so-called Christ. Okay, well, we're going to show you. They're talking about the son of perdition. Then you have another dude called Benjamin Cream. Okay, this guy Benjamin Cream follows the works and is a student of Blavatsky and Bailey. Okay, this is basically like Hashatan always has the opposite of the truth. This guy's kind of like a fake Yehukanan or John the Baptist unto the son of perdition. Okay? Because you remember, Yehukanan, he prepared the way for our Messiah, Yahushua. So this guy right here, Benjamin Cream, is kind of preparing the way for the son of perdition. This guy right here talks about the reappearance of the Maitreya, the, you know, quote unquote, you know, what they say, the Christ. And he says, since he has been traveling the globe, speaking, lecturing, and preparation for Christ, he claims that he has direct telepathical contact with both these people. So then, the last thing is what you have to understand, the whole Occupy movement, the whole thing created by Lucifer's Trust, they are trying to get, their main objective in their, now this is in their clause. I mean, this ain't no hypothetical. You can look it up on their website. You know, you can look, you can research it down. Their main goal is the reappearance of the so-called Christ. And so the Maitreya guy, which is called like the world teacher, you can find some stuff about him, you know, him appearing and disappearing and all this other stuff. You know what I'm saying? So they appearing, they preparing people for that. I mean, even if you look at the pictures, big shout out to my wife out there, you know, chilling on Shabbat, you know what I'm saying? But we found some information that, hey, even when you look at the pictures, of the Occupy movement, something rubs you wrong. They have one picture of a woman riding a beast. Come on now. They have a picture of a woman riding a beast, standing on a beast. They have pictures of the, you know, if you look at the Occupy Toronto, you know, movement, it has a communist feel. You know what I'm saying? It has a communist feel. And guess, check this. The height of the online poster is 666 pixels. Come on, man. They know what they're doing. People think this is a coincidence, but it's not a coincidence. So basically what people haven't understood is that the whole movement, we are the 99%. Basically, if you take that 99% out, it's really saying we are one. You know what I'm saying? You look at another poster, it has the Eye of Horus on it. You know, this Illuminati symbol is a sun worship. You know what I'm saying? Like, look at these pictures. We looked at one, it actually has a so-called alien in it. Okay, look at the Occupy Atlanta, Georgia poster. Okay, it's a communist clenched fist with a sun worship background. Okay, with a Lornith reef symbolizing human gods, you know, quote unquote human gods from Mount Olympus. Come on now. So the colors are the colors of the Nazis. Come on, man. Look at the Occupy Texas poster. You know what I'm saying? They have the occult, what do you call it? The pentagram star on it. Look at the Occupy Buffalo, New York poster. It has them doing a Nazi salute. You look at the Occupy Oregon poster. It has a satanic Eye of Horus on it. All these things have been built up. You know what I'm saying? Built up. So Yahuwah told us, man, and he revealed it to us, but we actually had the information this week that, hey, this thing was, we have the evidence, so it ain't no more speculation. You know, hey, the website, the whole movement was created by Lucius Truss in order to prepare people, to prepare the world for the reappearance of the Son of Perdition. That's what the movement's about. So that's the breaking news that we had to get out. So we're gonna move along and scoot along real quick. You still listening to Poetic Energy Network? I'm your Hoicide, and this is still on the way. Now I know the past couple of weeks we've been talking about Iran, the U.S., and but this week, man, it's been going down. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and Defense Minister Ehud Barak, it says, are pressing to launch an air assault on Iran and to take out their nuclear facilities. They have opened up the debate in Israeli cabinet with questions, according to the Israeli media. Meanwhile, President Barack Obama has an unprecedented, has called for unprecedented pressure to force the Iranian government to abandon its nuclear program. And the UN, International Atomic Energy Agency, released a report on November 8th claiming that Tehran is close to developing nuclear weapons. Now, I'm going to pause right there. Remember a couple of weeks ago, we had two sources. We had two high sources. One was a Russian general, and the other one was another guy, who a top official for Iran, said, hey, because the U.S. and the Israelis are saying, hey, they're making atomic bombs, okay? But those sources we found that said, hey, they already have atomic bombs. And they say, and they show the sources where they already have them. You know what I'm saying? So, and but we're gonna get back to it, because a lot of people think, okay, Iran is, you know, Obama's talking about Iran, you know what I'm saying, he gonna get it on them and everything. But we're gonna read some articles a little later that says, hey, Iran is like, hey, if you come at us, we're gonna come at you with an iron fist. That was an article that released. That was one of the statements he said. They said they're gonna come with an iron fist. And you see people picking sides. You have Russia and China, you know, teaming up with Iran, and then all you have left is U.S. and Israel. Okay? But I want to play, we're going to pause right there. We're going to play a clip of earlier, and this is what's been happening in the news.
Well, the U.S. and Israel are set to hold what is being called the largest and most significant war games in the two allies' history. U.S. Assistant Secretary for Political and Military Affairs Andrew Shapiro says more than 5,000 American and Israeli forces will participate in the exercise. They will simulate Israel's ballistic missile system. Shapiro says the joint exercise will also allow the U.S. to learn from Israel's experience of warfare. Shapiro also emphasized the Obama administration's support for Israel, calling bilateral relations broader, deeper, and more intense than ever before. He added that Washington will continue to provide Israel with $3 billion in aid every year, despite challenging economic times. For more on the U.S.-Israeli war games, joining us on the line from Los Angeles is Mr. James Morris. He is editor of AmericaHijacked.com. Sir, welcome to the program. First of all, tell us about the significance of the timing of carrying out these war games.
Hello, thank you for having me back on Press TV. And that's actually America-Hijacked.com, and I very much appreciate Press TV putting that out there on air. Well, I think it's very significant because you have a situation where Israel has been threatening to attack Iran. And I have a post at myamerica-hijack.com blog about that. And it basically is tinyurl.com/Israeli attack on Iran. And you can see the various articles posted there in the comments section as well. It's very concerning. The pro-Israel lobby in America, AIPAC, the American Israel Public Affairs Committee, and the neoconservatives, which compose the upper echelon of that lobby, have been wanting a war against Iran for quite some time now. And let's just hope that these war games don't coincide with an Israeli attack on Iran. And, you know, there are many America First patriotic Americans like myself here up of these wars for Israel in the Middle East. We're fed up of our government, the U.S. government, covering up for Israeli crimes and murder against Americans, including the deliberate Israeli attack on the USS Liberty back in 1967. And I'd like to also make a point that how many times has Iran an attacked American ship like the USS Liberty and murdered American sailors and Marines like Israel did? And we also have the Israeli military historian, Martin Ben Crayfield, who had actually threatened to use nuclear weapons on European cities. Why isn't that ever brought up? Why don't we talk about the IAEA inspecting the nuclear facilities in Israel, where we have Israel reportedly having 200 to 400 nuclear weapons? But America doesn't allow that to happen, but we're pushing against Iran now. We have this IAEA report coming out next week, and it's very interesting to me here in the news how it's being reported that that's reflecting negatively upon Iran. How do we know that? Does this pro-Israel lobby, AIPAC, and similar have influence on that IAEA to have a report to come out to that effect? These are all very interesting questions that any America First American like myself wants to know. We are sick and tired of fighting Israel's wars in the Middle East, getting thousands of Americans wounded and injured like we saw in Iraq, like we saw in Afghanistan. We went into Afghanistan because of 9/11, and 9/11 happened because of support for Israel. Enough is enough. We better not have another war for Israel and Iran. Otherwise, we're going to have an uprising against the Zionists here in America. You can bank on it.
Yo, we back. That was the official report right there going on about the whole Israel-American relations and all that stuff. They're doing war games. They're training together and stuff like that. So they're dressing up for a dress rehearsal against Iran. You know what I'm saying? Because Iran is like, yo, our nuclear facilities, we just chilling. We ain't really trying to do too much. We ain't really making no bombs. You know what I'm saying? We just... But reports say that, you know, we don't know how true they are, but reports say that they, you know, high-level sources and CIA sources say that they already have some bombs. So, and, you know, but, and so we talked about, even we talked about last week about the U.S. pullout of troops from Iraq. And so, you know, so why was that? Why was that happening? It was happening because, number one, they're beefing up because war is imminent. You know what I'm saying? War is imminent, so, you know, you don't want the troops spread out. I mean, that's just a strategic chess move. You know what I'm saying? You don't want all your people spread out. So you have right here, so a couple things been happening. You know, remember the plot. Like, all these propaganda things were happening in the media to get the U.S. to say, yeah, we ready to go to war with y'all. We ready to do something, you know what I'm saying? We heard the plot about the Saudi Arabian ambassador in Washington and, you know, all those things. And Iran's like, yo, we didn't have nothing to do with that. But they kept pushing it, you know what I'm saying? So Iran says now that they will hit back against any attack or even a threat to their military action. They said they're going to hit back. They said the country's supreme leader says that after Israel warned the world, it says, must act to prevent getting nuclear weapons. Iran, this was the official part of it said. It says Iran will respond with full force to any aggression or even threats in the way that demolishes the aggressors from within. And this was one of the people from a military college in Iran. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, that's what they say, and they're saying they will respond with the iron fist. So people don't know, okay, you know, what they have. So you're talking about there could be an all-out, you know, nuclear war because, you know, we just read, you know, the guy just said that supposedly Israel has some nuclear weapons too. So check this. This article came out. You know, we talked about the crazy day, 11-11-11, that was yesterday. And, you know, last night they did the whole crystal ball, little ceremony where they pretty much ushered in some, you know, demonic forces into the world, trying to usher in basically the age of Aquarius, the age of evil, the whole thing that is behind the Madame Blinsky and Addison Bailey thing. But we have an official article right here that says that there are 30,000 suicide bombers to infiltrate Israel. This was released yesterday. Fars News Agency reported that thousands of men who were trained for suicide missions will infiltrate Israel via Syria in the wake of reports on an Israeli strike. Okay. In response to the reports of a possible Israeli strikes on Iran nuclear facilities, Iran is threatening to mount an attack on Israel via Syria border. Some 30,000 Syrian and Palestinian men have spent the past 3 months training to infiltrate Israel in order to carry out suicide missions, the Iranian Fars News Agency reported on Friday. The agency, which is associated with the Revolutionary Guards, reported that the men have spent a petition to the Syrian government expressing their willingness to help with any crisis which may arise with Israel. Okay? It says they have asked the Syrian government for authorization to infiltrate occupied Palestinian land to carry out suicide missions against Israeli soldiers. The report says. So you're talking about we already know. Number one, most of the Palestinians, I think it's almost 90-something% are Muslims. You know what I'm saying? And we already know how, if you haven't known about what they do over there, you know, I've heard stories of people in the military that they care nothing about little kids. They care nothing about, you know, a lot of people say, oh, you know, the Muslim religion is not, you know, and no defense against for Israel, but we're talking about people who are ruthless. We're talking about we'll get on Israel, so-called Israel Jewish people too. You know what I'm saying? But so a lot of people think they are bluffing. Maybe they are bluffing. You know, but we would have to look further because it says in any case of a crisis by Israel, these men can give Netanyahu's government a serious prop. So you're talking about they've been training. This is what the article said. They've been training for the last 3 months to get ready to do some suicide bombing, to just go up and sacrifice. They'll sacrifice some stuff and strap some bombs to them to themselves to blow up the, you know, just people, you know what I'm saying, just because they don't care. You know, we already know how it goes down. But, you know, that's the official article. That's very serious, that there is a lot of tension building up between the U.S., Iran, and Israel. So if, I don't know if you don't see, you know, if you don't see it in the spirit, it's a lot of building up. Because they just reached another article on November 10th. It says Iran will respond with an iron fist. So they're saying if you even threaten them, they coming hard. Because we already read that, hey, somebody got some nuclear weapons. You know what I'm saying? So moving on to further news, the Palestinian, you know, we remember talking about a couple of weeks how they will push for full UN membership. And so the UN, the NUSC, vote on the statehood bid not held as Palestinians are able to secure the 9 votes needed to, for ratification. The PA consulted with Arab on the next move. Palestinian Authority President Mohammed Abbas said on Friday that he would continue his efforts to gain full membership on a Palestinian state in the United Nations. Despite the developments in the United Nations Security Council, that the statehood gambled one step closer to collapse. It says the United Nations Security Council met Friday in New York behind closed doors to review a report presented on whether the Palestinians meet the criteria for admissions to the UN, but did not raise a vote on the issue. So basically, you have this still going on. You have the so that's going to play a lot. That's going to play a lot in the between as these tensions build between these nations. It's going to play this whole vote thing is going to play a lot into how this potential war is going to break off. You know what I'm saying? So you know you have that. And then we're moving on to further news. We had the G20 summit. You know, they released a plan called the Action Plan. I had the official article of the Action Plan, but what it basically said was a whole bunch of mumbo-jumbo, you know. You know, you read this crap and you be like, man, what do they even talk about? 90%, probably 99% of that was a bunch of crap, because what they're saying is that, hey, basically, it's nothing we can do. We're going to let the ship go down. We're going to let the Titanic sink, because we got something else. You know what I'm saying? And I actually found, you know what kind of led me to an article that kind of, I mean, a section within this whole report that basically shows their whole objective. You were talking about, last week we talked about how the 10 sections of the earth, the 10 highest powers, basically were part of the G20, the 10 beasts, or the 10 horns of the beast, you know, which have, you know, which will gain their kingdom, but have not yet. Okay. At the bottom of the report, it said we will also hold ourselves accountable for meeting our commitments to address near-term vulnerabilities and move near on reforms. We will enhance our report and monitoring in 2012 and future years, developing a framework assess progress against our commitments. It says against our commitments for reform of our. No. I want to break it down a little bit, because you gotta break it down what they be saying about the old limbo jump. You know, the mumbo jumbo. That's what they be saying. It be mumbo jumbo. You be like, man, what is they really saying? Like, they really saying? They say they use that word though, reform, 2 times. Okay, and reform is basically changes in something typical, you know, changes in order of improvement to denote, to retain in reforming Judaism. I mean, that was like an objective. But think about reform. Reforming is like, hey, this building is, you know, destroying is falling down. We're going to reform it. We're going to rebuild it. You know what I'm saying? So they got to tear it down first. So that's the whole objective of the thing is, hey, Babylon, they're saying Babylon got to fall so we can get our new reform, our new world order going. So that was the whole objective of the G20 summit. So you kind of see, if you look in the spirit, you kind of see it. What happened was you had the Lucy Trust create the Occupy movement. Then you had the Pope rise up, you know, standing behind it. Yeah, we need to. So basically, the Pope, you know, he's following Adam Monica, the whole theological influence of the Lucifer Trust, you know what I'm saying? And then you had the G20 summit make the plan that, hey, we want the beast to fall. And so now the end result of this whole thing with the Occupy, all these things are going to lead to the beast from the sea, the beast with the seven heads, 10 horns coming out of the sea. That is what all this is leading to, and it's all, and that is all leading to the Son of Perdition being revealed. And that's all leading to, you know, we can keep going. You read Revelation. It talks about our King, Yahushua, HaMashiach is coming, the real king. So you had that going on. And, I mean, a lot of this is basically news, man, because, you know, after that, even you had, we got some more information about the Federal Reserve. You know, we found out, hey, you know, the Rothschilds and the Federal Reserve was created by the Rothschilds, basically, and the Rockefellers, and these big families of international banking families. You know, they created the Federal Reserve. And so they created basically international banking cartel creates, you know, basically creates money out of thin air because money, you know, paper is not really nothing. You know what I'm saying? So they created this money and they helped get the Federal Reserve Act, you know, closed in 1913. But this is basically like counterfeit money, and that's what they did. There's people, like, people don't know this is what the American system is based upon. Like these whole dollar bills of reserve notes and so people spend their whole lives to try to get money. We're talking about this stuff is not even worth anything. You know, back in the day, we read the scriptures that real money was or finances was, you know, coins like silver and gold and different things like that. But we know this is this whole system is an abomination to even Yahuwah. You know what I'm saying? So basically, you know, we dived into that, and that brings us into, man, my favorite section. It brings us into, you know, it brings us to get to the Matrix, you know what I'm saying? Hey, man, you still listening to Poetic Energy Network Station. I am Yahuwah Sod, and this is still on the way.
This is your last chance. After this, there is no turning back. You take the blue pill, the story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill, you stay in Wonderland, and I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes. Remember, all I'm offering is the truth, nothing more.
Yo, we back. Hey, what's going on? Now, we're moving on to the red or blue pill section. Okay, we're moving on to the red or blue pill section. This is very good right here. Okay, hey, we talking about, if you got the scriptures, open them up. We're talking about the red or blue pill. Matiti Yahu, Matthew 6:24. This is what it says. It says, no one can serve two masters. Either he will hate one and love the other, or he will devote to one and despise the other. You cannot serve Elohim and Mammon. Okay? So we're talking about Elohim, Yahuwah, versus Mammon. Okay, you ask yourself, what is Mammon? What is wealth? What is it? Okay, you look at 31:26, Mammonos, Mammon. It says, from the origin, Aramaic, wealth, worldly goods, assets, possessions, material goods, revenue, earnings, covetousness, materialism, valued, honored, regarded, esteemed, cherished, prized. And this is what Yahushua said in the next verse. He said, therefore, I say unto you, take no thought of your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you should put on. Isn't life more than meat and your body more than raiment or clothes? Okay, look, we're going to break that verse down right there. 33:09. It says, be anxious about, to have care, take thought. So he says, don't even take thought of these things, of how you're going to eat, how you're going to just survive. Another word that was in that same verse was saying, through the idea of distraction, it says, interruption, a break, pause, solitude, concern, consideration, importance, reflection. So basically, it was saying that don't even take consideration or importance or take a break or interruption to even think or have the thought of how you're going to do anything about your life. Because we don't even live our life. So you got the red or you got the blue pill. Okay? Colossians 3:5 says, mortify therefore yourselves which is upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil consumptionness, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Okay? You're talking about covetousness. What is covetousness? It's like materialism. Therefore, you know, cheating, to betray, to disloyal, to let down, disappointment, idolatry. What is idolatry? According to 1495, it is a position, rank, status, importance. Now, we remember in the first word, what does Yahuwah say? In the Tanakh, in the Torah, what did he say? He said, I am Yahuwah, your Elohim, you know, who brought you out of Mizraim. You shall have no other ones, another mighty one against my face. So when Yahushua said, hey, you either going to serve Mammon or you're going to serve Elohim. You're going to take the red pill or you're going to take the blue pill. It's either one of them. You can't stay in the middle. You can't stay in the middle. Even this is what he said right here. Look, Yahushua 24:15, it says, and if seem evil unto you to serve Yahuwah, choose ye this day whom you will serve, whether the mighty ones which your father served that you were, it says, that were on the other side of the flood, or the mighty ones of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve Yahuwah. Okay, so this is the whole thing. We going back and forth and we saying, hey, which one should you do? Red or the blue pill? Okay, this is what Yehoshua 6:27 says. It says, do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the son of Adam will give you, for on him the father Elohim has set a seal. So he's saying, do not work for this, because people work. Of course, we live in society, we got to work, we got to earn a living to sustain your family. But people that work for mammon, who serve mammon, and serving mammon is they take care to, they do the opposite of what Yahushua said. They do, Yahushua said, take not care, not even thought, don't even pause for a second to think about how you're going to eat, about your clothes. He said, don't pause, don't think, don't even meditate, don't even be in solitude and think about it. Okay, this verse right here says, do not work for food that perishes. So what does that mean? Like, what are you saying? Don't work? Like, what are you saying? You know what I'm saying? But this is what he's saying. This is what he's saying, that you have people who work. That is in their heart to store treasures, to work, you know. Because when let's be real. Growing up, I went to, the whole thing is, go to college, go to a good college, get your education so you can get a good job and make good money. And that's what the TV, the magazines, everything portrays you to do, to serve mammon, to serve wealth and seek wealth. You know what I'm saying? But this is what the scriptures say. It says, for the love of mammon or wealth or money is the root of all evil, and by some longing for wandering away from the faith and pierced himself with many griefs. That's 1 Timothy 6:10. You know what I'm saying? That's First Timothy. So keep it going and go to Matthew. Go to Matthew. This is what it says. Matthew 26 is the same thing we were just reading. It says, look at the birds of the heavens, and neither they sow nor reap nor gather in storehouses, yet your heavenly Father does feed them. And are they not more worth than, it says, are you not more worth than they? So the last verse, 34, he said, do not then worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow shall have its own worries, each day enough evil of itself. So, hey, don't even worry about tomorrow. Don't even take thought. Don't even pause. Don't even think about, you know, people worry about, you know, you worry about your bills. You worry about this, you know, money. How are you going to eat? That's the whole category. That's the whole category. He's just not talking. I mean, of course, he was just talking about, you know, he used the example of clothes and food, but it's more than that, because there's more things that possibly you could worry about that you always said don't even take. So go back and look at that definition. He said don't even. I'm going to rewind it for you. You know what I'm saying? You know, we got to rewind it for you so you can understand, like, hey, this is what he's talking about. You know what I'm saying? When you look at it again, it says, you rewind it again. This is what he said. This is what the definition. It says, interruption, a break, a pause, a stopping, solitude, concern, affectionate, concerning importance or reflection. To be anxious about, careful, to take thought. So that's what he's saying. It's not even to take thought of these things. So when people begin to take thought of worries, you know what that creates? That creates people to serve mammon. Because now you're feeling like by your own power that you can now sustain yourself. So you have a lot of people in the world who boast about their riches and boast about their money, you know what I'm saying? Because they have tried to do everything by their own power. Look, if you go to Revelation 3, this connects to the same thing Yahushua just said. He said, hey, these people right here, Revelation 3:16 says, so because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I'm going to vomit you out my mouth. So, hey, you can't choose the red pill and try to hold to the blue pill. You can't try to hold to the blue pill and try to get the red pill. It's either one or the other. You can't stay in the middle. You cannot serve mammon and Elohim. You cannot store up treasures. You cannot. These treasures can't be in your heart, because naked we came in the world, naked we will leave out. So what do you know, a lot of people saying, so what are you saying? We got to be poor, or, you know, nobody's saying that. Well, we're going to break it down into the revelation of serving mammon or serving Elohim. You know what I'm saying? Okay, we look at Psalms 62:10. It says, trust not in extortions or take pride in stolen goods. Though your riches increase, do not take heart in it. Okay? We're going to pause right there. We're going to go back to Revelation 3:17. It says, because you say, I am rich, I am made rich, and I need not at all, I do not know that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. So you have people that, because it's a process. When you begin to worry about things, and about things that Yahushua said, do not worry, do not take care of your life, don't even pause for a second to think about. When you began to think about these things, you began to feel like by your own power, now you need to take control, because nobody's taking control. However, this is a trap, because now you will feel like, now by my own power, I have to obtain riches. You know, I have to obtain, not even obtain riches, but I have to take care of my life. See, that's the thing. If the world tries to get you to take care of your life, but we know that we are not even our own. Yahushua takes care of us. Yahushua takes care of us. So what is the red pill? What is the meaning? So what should we do in order to get out of this, to get out of this trap? You know, Matiti Yahu 6:19 said, do not store up treasures for yourself on the earth, where moth and rust destroy and thieves come in and break and steal. 2 Timothy 3:10 says, it's talking about in the end days that people will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, prideful, abusive, disobedient, the parents, ungrateful, unset apart. So this is right here. This is the revelation of the red pill. We're going to talk about the red pill. So remember, Yahushua just said, hey, do not even think about your life. Don't even pause. Don't even take thought. He said, why? Because when you go up, what is the synopsis of the whole thing? When you go back up and you read it, he takes care of the birds. He takes care of the birds. The birds don't even take part. They know when they flying, they know some worms are gonna be down there. You know what I'm saying? They know they're gonna get fed every day. But yet we, you know, take thought of, oh well, how am I gonna do this? How am I gonna do that? Well, how is this gonna happen? You know, you're doing exactly what he said not to do. And when those thoughts manifest, what will happen is you will begin to feel like, now I have to take control. Now I have to do it because I can't see how this is going to happen without my. But look, this is the revelation of the red pill right here. So we're not saying, you know, number one, I'm not saying that, hey, can't have wealth or you can't do this or you can't, you know, do this. But we're going to break it down to the revelation of serving mammon and serving Yahuwah. This is what Jeremiah 29:11 says. This is what Jeremiah 29:11 says. This is what it says right here. Circle this verse right here. He says, for I know the plans I am planning for you, declares Yahuwah. Plans of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and an expectancy. So this is the thing, is he already has the plans. He already knows. Just like it said in Matiti Yahu, it said that, you know, people pray for things that they think he don't know about. You know what I'm saying? Like, Yahuwah knows everything, so why do you continue to pray about things that he knows he's going to take care of you? So this is what Yahuwah said. But this is the revelation right here, is that there's two paths. You have people that try to get wealth on their own power, and when they obtain it, they say, hey, by my own power, I did this. Did you catch the word? I did this. You know, and so what happens is, the process is that just like back in the day, we're gonna say that one for you right there. But you have right here, back in Deuteronomy 8:18, this gets good right here. Back in Deuteronomy 18, what happened was is that he told them that he humbled them in the wilderness to let them go hungry, to let them, you know, just be humble to, you know, snakes and serpents, and he led them to the treacherous wilderness. Why did he say he did that? Why did he do that? He said, you shall remember Yahuwah, your Elohim, for it is he who has given you the power to get wealth, that he may confirm his covenant, which he swore to his fathers as it is this day. He said, it is he. Remember, you remember Gideon? You remember Gideon, and you remember when Yahuwah kept saying, you know, they had an army. But the other army was big. You know what I'm saying? He kept falling down. He said, no, I need to be lower. He said, because if y'all have enough people, y'all gonna say y'all did it. And y'all not gonna give esteem to Yahuwah. Y'all gonna say y'all did it, okay? Just like people who attain wealth, you know what I'm saying? This is what Hosea 2:8 said. He said, she has not acknowledged that I was the one giving her the grain, the new wine, the oil, who lavished her with silver and gold, which she used for bail. You know what I'm saying? But the whole thing is, the revelation between the red or blue pill, it says that it's Yahuwah who's the one to give wealth, not yourself. And you can't obtain, if you obtain wealth by yourself, which you say you did, it is not of Yahuwah. So what happens is, you become, when those thoughts manifest, you become, and you begin to have a reprobated mind, which we're going to talk about in just a little second. So Proverbs 18:22, it says, the blessings of Yahuwah brings wealth and adds no trouble to it. So Yahuwah's blessing, according to the scriptures, Yahuwah's blessing gives you wealth. But when you try to obtain wealth for the love of money and mammon, you will be destroyed. So look at this. Look at this. So do you see the process? Do you see the process? Look, in Judges 2:7, Yahuwah said to Gideon, you have too many men for me to deliver Midian in your hands, in order that Yisrael may not boast against me that their own might and strength they had saved her. So that's why he let them go humble. That's why he let them be humble to starve, you know, because when he brought them into the land, he wanted them to know that, hey, he wanted to take all your power away. He wanted to get you to a situation where you can't even function on your own power. And so he takes away everything that you know, you'll try to do this and he'll take that away. You know, you ever wonder why that? You ever wonder that? Like, you try to do this and he'll take that away and you just can't do it because he may be teaching you that, hey, you cannot do anything on your own power, that you need me for everything. This is what 1 Samuel 2:7 says. It says, Yahuwah sends poverty and wealth, he humbles and exalts. So what we were talking about before is that when you take thought, when you pause, when we talked about that definition of pause, when Yahusha said, don't even think about your life, that word in the Greek, we broke it down, means pause, to think about, to care, be concerned, you know, to even have a thought or care. When you begin to do those things and those thoughts stay there, they begin to manifest and grow like a cancer. And so what happens is now you believe that you, by your own might, your own power, can obtain this. And so when you get to that stage, you will say, yeah, look at my work. Look what I did. You know what I'm saying? And so people in the world now, this is the process. This is the revelation. You got to get this. It's people in the world now who have obtained. We look at people. We're going to use people, and not saying they can't be saved, not saying they're doomed, but we're just going to use people, for instance. Say like an Oprah Winfrey. You have people that have obtained wealth, but it has not been the power, it has not been by the power of Yahuwah. Okay, so now what you have is, remember Yahusha said, how hard is it for a rich man to enter into the kingdom? Because what you have is, they have, some of these people that are wealthy have a reprobated mind, because they believe by their own might and power they have received it. This is the same thing with homosexuals. They now believe that their nature is correct when it is actually false. So these people who obtain wealth, you have these big millionaires and people who obtain wealth not by the power of Yahuwah, but they have tried to obtain it. It was because they were in a threshold. They were in a threshold where they could choose to choose, or they never had a they could choose between doing what's right to try to give their life over to seek Yahuwah, but yet they try to do it on their own power. Okay, Romans 1:25 says, it says, for they have changed the truth of Elohim for a lie. They have worshipped and served the creature or something created rather than the creator. So you're talking about man, but you're talking about money, you're talking about possessions. People serve this. They serve their jobs, they serve their profession more than they serve the creator, who is blessed forever. So you're talking about Romans 1:28. It says, and just as they did not see fit to acknowledge Elohim any longer, Elohim gave them over to the depraved mind to do the things which are not improper. This was talking about homosexuals, but it's also similar to how people have, you know, it's like a cycle. Things always start off small. So when you begin to take thought and care and do the things opposite of what the scriptures say. He said, don't even care about your life. Think about your life like a bird. A bird gets everything he needs every day. So will you if you just trust him. So when people begin to not, when you begin to not trust him and you begin to take him to your heart and begin to worry about things in the future and to begin to think, you begin to say, oh, now I need to take hold of my life and do it myself, because really you're saying that Yahuwah can't do it. And so what happens is, if he begins to continue to correct you and you don't want to hear it, He'll just let you go over to your mind. And so now these people who attain wealth, they have reprobated minds, believing that they obtain this by themselves. And so that's why it's so hard for a rich man to enter into heaven, because they have a reprobated mind. They believe that by their own power. This is what Deuteronomy 8:17-18 says. Otherwise, you may say in your heart, my power and my strength and my hand made me this wealth. And this is what Jehovah says to his people out there. When he begins to bless you and you say, oh, by my hand I did this, by I did this, he said, and it shall have come about that if you forget Yahuwah, your Elohim, and go after other mighty ones to serve them and worship them, I testify you today that you will surely perish. So that is the conclusion, the red or blue pill. You have, what you have going on is, you have, the main lesson is, hey, if he has a plan for your life, Jeremiah, Yirmiyahu 29:11, is that you don't have to worry about your life. If he has a plan for your life, that means you don't have to worry about your life. But you worry about your life when you believe it's in your hands. That's the only time worry comes, is when you believe every situation, the things you're going through, is in your hands. But if you cast all your cares and worries on him, for he cares for you, you will have, that means you will have no worries and no problems. You know what I'm saying? Because you have given it all to him. So the red or blue pill is, hey, the blue pill is, you know, you start worrying, you begin to do things on your own power, and the end result is having a reprobated mind, in which when these people, just like in Revelations 3, in Revelations 3, when these people said, I am, what did they say? They said, I am rich. We're going to read it again. We're going to close this up right here. But it says, they said, I am rich and I have made rich. I need nothing. They said, I need nothing at all. That's what they said. They had a reprobated mind. That's a reprobated mind. When you think you need nothing at all, and, you know, because you obtain wealth. You know what I'm saying? But it says, in all need at all, it says, and do not know that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I advise you to buy from me gold refined in fire, so that you become rich, white garments. So that's the same thing Yahushua said. Remember he told the rich young ruler, he said, hey, he asked him about the commandments. He said, I kept the commandments since I was you. You know what I'm saying? So he said, okay, well, if that's true, then sell everything you have and come follow me. So these people who have reprobated mind, you have to humble yourself. You have to humble yourself and to the point where you really realize that, hey, you didn't obtain anything. So that's the red or blue pill. You know, you still listen to Poetic Energy Network Station. I'm Yahuwah Sadi. This is still on the way. Okay, we got a little quick fact for you, and then we're gonna skedaddle after that. But we got a little quick fact for you today, and this right here is pretty interesting. You already know what's coming up. You know, you got the false feast days coming up, and this might rub a lot of people the wrong way. Because you might be thinking, well, I wonder if Thanksgiving is okay to do. I mean, we just eating and, you know, it ain't nothing serious. You know, we just eating and granted, you know, a lot of people, you wouldn't know. You know what I'm saying? Because you don't know the foundation of it. We didn't know. Sometimes we didn't know. But you got to know that your enemy, Hashatan, has changed the history books and changed things to get you programmed to believe this is the truth. Now, Thanksgiving is actually basically trying to replace the Feast of Tabernacles. Okay, so a lot of people don't know, in 1888, the Roman Catholic Church, it was the first time that really the Roman Catholic Church formally recognized the day. Okay, but you read your history books, and it says that, you know, they landed on Plymouth Rock, and, you know, it was the 1600s. They landed on Plymouth Rock, and they had, it was the first Thanksgiving because it was with the Indians and all that. All that's false, man. You know, they committed mass genocide against the Indians, okay? So do not believe the hype. Also, when you even go back, we already know that all these false religions, because we're really going to, yeah, we're going to probably next week, we're really going to break it down and get dive into this Thanksgiving, so-called Thanksgiving. Who are they thanking? You know what I'm saying? When you really think about it, they are thanking Hashatan. If this day is bread and blood shed, why would you be associated with that? Why would you thank some kind of mighty one for people being killed? Doesn't make sense. So these Thanksgiving celebrations, even back in ancient times, were giving thanks to bountiful harvests. You had the Greeks who honored Demeter, which was the so-called mighty one of the agriculture. And it was a nine-day celebration. It was a nine-day celebration. See, remember we just said a couple minutes ago that it was actually a counterfeit of the Feast of Tabernacles. You know, the Feast of Tabernacles is eight days. It's an eight-day festival. So this right here back in the day, you know, everything from Hashatan is a counterfeit. So you had even the Romans honored what they called Ceres, which was an Anglo-Saxon mighty one, and they celebrated and rejoiced about a feast and celebration of the reaps of harvest. So these things which happened back then, and the Romans also, it was Caecilia and Cyrilla after Caesarea, which was the Roman mighty one of corn. So all these days, all these days, Thanksgiving, yes, Thanksgiving is also deeply rooted in paganism. And so this is what we leave you with. If you don't know and your family is doing it, you know, you have to stand up. You have to stand up and don't take part in this. Do not eat any of the food. Why? Because this is a food sacrifice to demons. This is food sacrifice. So when people cook and they honor a day, and they honor a day deeply rooted to honor a mighty one, what they do is they honor this food and they bless the food according to the mighty one. And so we know one of the commandments is, you know, we're not supposed to take part in demonic rituals like that. We cannot eat at the table of Yahuwah and the table of demons at the same time. So, you know, word of advice, you don't know, continue to pray on it, man, because we cannot take part in this. You know, they offer sacrifices to an unknown mighty one, which is not Yahuwah. But we're going to dive into it more. You still live in the Poetic Energy Network. I'm Yahuwah Sai, and this is still on the way. Hey, we had a great show. I'm glad you got a chance to just chill with us and kick it. Man, it is going down each and every week on the Poetic Energy Network station. I hope Yahuwah blesses your the rest of your Shabbat and you just rest and chill and relax and just chill. That's what the phrase of the day is, just chill. So, hey, be easy, be good. You know, may Yahuwah bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you. May he bless your territory and increase you and your family. Shabbat shalom.
And not only the image, but even down to the name. Where it's only in modern English that we have the name Jesus. A couple of hundred years ago, that name never existed.
The mainstream media is ignoring this information. Most of the alternative media is also ignoring it.
Wait, wait.